This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiyes Wuhib in Washington. Here is what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
We call for restrictions on the work of these rescuers to be lifted immediately. Such measures are clearly putting lives at risk. In the first 3 months of this year, there's already been a fourfold increase in departures from Libya compared to the same period in 2019.
That's Rupert Colville, spokesperson for the UN Human Rights Agency, who says European nations continue to prevent search and rescue vessels from saving migrants in distress while crossing the Mediterranean. Details coming up. Also, the International Monetary Fund says the economy of Nigeria will shrink by 3.4%. And in South Africa, there is anger and frustration at the extended hard lockdown to slow the spread of COVID-19. All these ahead on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. As many businesses reopen across Nigeria, workers are adjusting to the new reality created by the COVID-19 pandemic, including shorter work hours, pay cuts, and higher unemployment. Nigerian authorities expect the jobless rate this year to hit 1 in 3, while the International Monetary Fund says the economy will shrink by 3.4%. Timothy Obiezu looks at how those made unemployed are trying to cope.
27-year-old Emmanuel Nobu searches his phone, hoping for a response from one of the many places he has recently approached for a job. He says it's not been easy for him since he was laid off from his bartending job at an Abuja nightclub in March following Nigeria's coronavirus lockdown.
You can imagine in a situation where you stay and you don't have any source of income, it's very difficult to bear. Being at home all through, nowhere to go, you just sleep, wake up, walk around, nothing to do, no engagement.
Nigerian authorities last week began easing a nationwide lockdown, but maintained restrictions on schools, religious bodies, and businesses like nightclubs, bars, and gardens where crowds usually gather. Millions of Nigerians, such as Emmanuel, whose livelihoods depend on these businesses and institutions, are having a hard time meeting their basic needs.
It even got to the extent that I wasn't able to get a recharge card to load in my phone. I can't make contact. It's just like most movies we watch, you see most people hopeless in the movie.
Nigeria has been battling high unemployment for many years. However, job losses triggered by the coronavirus pandemic is something new. Nigeria's labor officials predict the unemployment rate may hit 33% by the end of this year. The country director of the International Labour Organization, Dennis Zulu, says the coronavirus pandemic took a bad situation and made it even worse.
Over the past few years, we've been seeing an increase in the number of Nigerians who are unemployed. And also because of new and young Nigerians entering the labour market who are not able to find jobs, this has further exacerbated the situation. So now, coupled with the COVID-19 pandemic, the situation is of very serious concern, and it could get worse depending on how this pandemic evolves.
Businesses are reopening across Nigeria, but they are applying measures like shorter operating hours and pay cuts in order to survive this age of the coronavirus. Zulu says it could take them a while to stabilize.
We should not be oblivious to the fact that some of them are still struggling now because the weeks of shutdown really affected their ability to generate working capital, which they didn't use for their own business operations.
The International Monetary Fund, IMF, says Nigeria's oil-dependent economy will shrink by more than 3% this year because of the fall in global oil prices triggered by the coronavirus lockdowns. That is not good news for Emmanuel Nobu. He plans to keep looking for work. But unless something dramatic happens, his job search may go on for months to come. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja.
Residents in northeastern Nigeria have raised the alarm about insurgent group plans to recruit new fighters. They appeal to relevant Nigerian authorities to intervene and stop the move. Mike Mbonye has more from Lagos.
The multinational joint task force says they have evidence that Boko Haram and Islamic State's West Africa province groups plan recruitment drives in the Lake Chad region. The task force members are the armed forces of Chad, Nigeria, Cameroon, Niger, and Benin Republic. The task force recently said the militant groups began their recruitment drive this month, seeking to replace lost fighters. The task force said the militants are targeting young men from northeastern Nigeria, the Lake Province of Chad, the Diffa region of Niger, and extreme northern Cameroon. The task force warns the insurgents plan to kidnap unwilling targets and indoctrinate them into their fold. Some stakeholders in northeastern Nigeria are worried about a planned recruitment drive and have urged the government to block it. Dr. Babakar Sani, a publisher and security consultant in Maiduguri in Borno State, says a new approach is needed to stop the recruitment drive.
The government needs to come up with a holistic approach. When I say holistic approach, I mean the state government, the federal government, and especially the local government. The local government in Borno State is no longer working. It's not functional. It has to come on board and start to do the needful because they are closer to the people.
Borno State has been hardest hit by Boko Haram, an Islamist militancy that is responsible for thousands of deaths and kidnappings over the past decade. The fighting has displaced hundreds of thousands of people. Sani says Nigerian security agencies should work hard to stop the secret recruitment.
I believe if the SS, the immigration, and most importantly, the police would equally come on board, this issue of secret recruitment for these people to swell up their rank will be checkmated.
Umu Rabiu is the chairperson of Kaltum Foundation for Peace, a Maiduguri-based non-governmental organization. She says parents should ensure their children do not fall prey to recruiters.
We as mothers should put an eye on our children to know which kind of friends they are mingling with, which kind of people are with them, you know, who are coming in, who are going out, you know, in the midst of their children, you know.
Rabiu advises young adults to be careful of strangers or old friends who come to lure them with empty promises. The Nigerian military has not reacted to the recruitment drive, but an army statement quoted the Chief of Army Staff, Lieutenant General Tukur Buratai, commending troops for successes recorded against the insurgents in the northeast. He had just finished spending several weeks with them in the northeast. This is Mike Mbonye for VOA News in Lagos.
UN agencies are warning migrants and refugees crossing the central Mediterranean Sea risk losing their lives if European nations continue to prevent search and rescue vessels from saving those in distress. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The UN Human Rights Office expresses alarm at recent reports of rescue boats failing to assist migrants in trouble on the central Mediterranean Sea, considered to be one of the deadliest migration routes in the world. The agency deplores the coordinated pushback of migrant boats by nations and by hard-nosed policies by some European countries intent on preventing private humanitarian search and rescue vessels from supporting migrants in distress. Human rights spokesman Rupert Colville says these life-threatening actions are occurring at a time when an increasing number of migrants are making the perilous journey from Libya to Europe.
We call for restrictions on the work of these rescuers to be lifted immediately. Such measures are clearly putting lives at risk. In the first 3 months of this year, there's already been a fourfold increase in departures from Libya compared to the same period in 2019.
Colville says his agency is concerned about the many refugees and migrants who are being returned to Libya after they are rescued at sea.
The Libyan Coast Guard is continuing to turn vessels back towards its own shores and place the intercepted migrants in arbitrary detention facilities where they face horrendous conditions, as we've often spoken of in the past, including torture and ill treatment, sexual violence, lack of health care, and other human rights violations.
Colville says the overcrowded conditions under which migrants are kept expose them to the threat of coronavirus infections. UN agencies are calling for the release of all refugees and migrants in Libyan detention facilities. They advocate a return to the age-old tradition of rescue at sea, which was enshrined into law in the last century. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
In South Africa, there is anger and frustration at the extended hard lockdown to slow the spread of COVID-19. Opposition parties say the economic hardship caused by the near shutting of the economy is worse than the damage of the coronavirus itself. They accuse the ruling African National Congress of behaving irrationally and without compassion, thus risking social unrest and a massive increase in infection rates. Darren Taylor reports.
As poverty and suffering deepen after a lockdown that's now at almost 7 weeks, support for the government's actions against COVID-19 wanes.
The real tragedy playing out here is no longer the coronavirus, but the lockdown itself, because this lockdown is going to cost many more lives than it can possibly save.
Democratic Alliance, or DA, leader John Steenhuisen says the restrictions have served their purpose. To limit infections, to allow the health sector to prepare for the big increase in cases expected in the near future.
This wave is still coming, lockdown or not.
The government recently dropped its lockdown level from 5 to 4. This has allowed some industries to reopen. But Steenhuisen says in some respects, level 4 is more restrictive than level 5.
We now have a military curfew enforced by more than 75,000 armed soldiers, and even our shopping hours have been reduced instead of expanded.
Many are complaining that some of the new restrictions are draconian. For example, the ban on human movement after 8 p.m.
It's little wonder then that these rules are increasingly met with resistance and in some cases outright civil disobedience.
Other regulations, says Steenhuisen, are petty and irrational, such as the ban on e-commerce. The DA leader, like many of his compatriots, feels insulted by recent comments made by state officials to the effect that South Africans are too irresponsible and thus undeserving of greater freedoms. Steenhuisen says this is in fact the time for the government to give greater responsibility to citizens and to trust and respect them.
Instead, we have seen our citizens treated like common criminals. We have seen people abused and humiliated in the streets and in their properties by members of the police and the army. And sadly, we've even seen citizens die at the hands of these armed forces. We have seen good Samaritans arrested for nothing more than the crime of feeding the poor and hungry in our nation.
He says thousands of businesses have closed, tens of thousands have no work. The Treasury Department projects the lockdown could result in the loss of 7 million jobs in a country where more than 10 million people are already unemployed. The state says it's incomprehensible for the DA to label something that's resulted in one of the world's lowest infection and death rates as a mistake. But Steenhuisen says the government risks undoing its good work by continuing to enforce a hard lockdown.
Millions of people are already breaking the law, not because they are criminals, but because they are hungry. Not because they are bad, but because the laws are themselves bad. We need to end the lockdown in an orderly way before the people of the country end it with chaos.
The DA calls for strict lockdowns only in areas where infections threaten to overwhelm health systems. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Zimbabwe is among a couple of African countries that the European Union is poised to blacklist over concerns regarding money laundering and terrorism. Adi Gondo gives us more on the story.
The European Union has placed Zimbabwe, Botswana and Ghana on a list of countries that fail to effectively counter money laundering. The EU said this week the decision is part of a new increased effort to fight global money laundering and terrorist financing and to boost cooperation with the international watchdog Financial Action Task Force, FATF. The task force sets international standards aimed at preventing illegal efforts to hide money from criminal activities or that is used to fund terrorism. It monitors countries to ensure that they implement the FATF standards effectively and holds countries to account if they do not. Political analyst Effie Ncube says Zimbabwe's inclusion on the list is serious.
Blacklisting for support of terrorism usually takes place when a country willfully allows its the financial systems to be used for support of terrorism, for money laundering and other illicit money transactions. Or its systems are so weak that those that are involved in such activities are manipulating them and funding their own illicit activities.
The EU decision may mean financial transactions involving the listed countries are likely to get extra scrutiny by international banks. Ncube says the development could create new problems for the Zimbabwean economy, which is already reeling under hyperinflation, drought mismanagement, and the global economic shocks from the coronavirus pandemic.
Because it will attract a lot of sanctions, and for a country that is already burdened by a lot of economic problems, it will mean extra burdens again. And it will mean extra suffering because it will affect the economy seriously. So the government needs to take that very serious, correct where it needs to correct and ensure that the systems are foolproof and there is no space for them to be used to support terrorism, money laundering, or any other illicit money transactions.
As of Friday afternoon, Zimbabwe's government had not responded to the EU move. Zimbabwe, reporting for VOA. This is Adigondo.
In the last 2 months, the UN Refugee Agency reports more than 200,000 people have been forced to flee surging violence between the Lendu and Hema groups in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo's Ituri province. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The UN Refugee Agency says 5 million people have been uprooted in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, including 1.2 million in Ituri province. It reports the number of inter-ethnic attacks and counter-attacks between Lendu farmers and Hema herders continues to multiply, adding to the already intolerable misery of what is Africa's largest displacement crisis. UN monitors have recorded more than 3,000 serious human rights violations in Jugu territory, mainly occupied by the Hema, in the last 60 days. UNHCR spokesman Charlie Yaxley says nearly 50 attacks are taking place on average every day against the local community.
Displaced people have reported acts of extreme violence, with at least 274 civilians killed with weapons such as machetes. More than 140 women were raped and almost 8,000 houses set on fire. The vast majority of those displaced are women and children, many of whom are now living under crowded circumstances with host families from the community.
Yaxley tells VOA many others are forced to sleep in the open or in public buildings under very insecure conditions.
That in turn is also making the social distancing required to prevent the spread of COVID-19 extremely difficult, as we see many people living inside shelters. And this again places them vulnerable to possible further attacks, vulnerable to the elements, and with little protection in terms of preventing the spread of COVID-19.
The Lendu and Hema have been fighting sporadically for decades over valuable resources in their gold and oil-rich province. Tensions in the region have been rising since December, following a government-led military operation against various armed groups. UN and private agencies report access to Jugu and Mahagi territories is heavily restricted, making it difficult to reach those in dire need of assistance. The UNHCR reports it is working with other agencies to provide relief and to build more shelters for the displaced. The agency reports only 18% of its $154 million appeal for the DRC has been received to date. It says this lack of funding, as well as the prevailing insecurity, is affecting its ability to provide essential relief to the thousands of displaced. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Authorities at Uganda's Wildlife Conservation Education Center say the lockdown to curb the spread of COVID-19 in the country is hurting the way they operate. They say with no visitors, the facility has lost the revenues it used to generate to run the facility. Unless the government and conservationists intervene, hundreds of wild animals that live here will have no food. Reporter Mugumi Davis-Rawa Karenji recently visited the center and files this report from Kampala, Uganda.
The sounds of birds welcome you as you enter Uganda's Wildlife Conservation Education Center, commonly known as Entebbe Zoo. Located on 72 hectares along the shores of Lake Victoria, it is home to close to 300 animals and 53 animal species. Steven Busuwa, the animal keeper, feeds the animals, says they need a balanced diet.
Like a person, there is some amount you have to take. So these animals also have to have something in a day, because the way we apportioned the beef, it's like they have to eat every day. But in the wild, they get a big chunk of food and they eat and they can starve for some few days. But here, if we give you 6 kilos, they cater for that day. We have already calculated what they eat in the wild and we have tried to apportion it so that they eat every week. So if we starve them, the animal will emaciate or lose weight.
Besides the lions, there are several carnivorous animals like leopards, hyenas, cheetahs, wolves and several wild cats. All that depend on meat or poultry in order to survive. Other animals feed on fish, vegetables, and fruits. The facility, created in 1952, is responsible for educating the masses, especially young people, the importance of biodiversity, rescue of wildlife species, and breeding of endangered species. James Msinguzi, who heads the facility, says it requires at least 1 million Uganda shillings, or about $300, daily for food for the animals.
Most of our visitation, it belongs to the stream of school groups. And once the schools were closed, that meant they would not come. And of course, after the COVID pandemic, the schools will be busy trying to catch up with the syllabus. And even then, we are not certain when congregation will be allowed again. We are even looking at post-COVID effects and fundraising so that we are sure we have the welfare of the animals on top of the agenda, because the last thing you want to miss is animal food and animal health needs.
The facility also requires money for staff salaries, equipment and medication for the animals and other expenses. Msingu says the facility also helps to breed some endangered species and rehabilitate animals rescued from traffickers.
Oftentimes they call us to the airport to rescue these animals and we make an assessment of their state, whether if we reintroduce them back into the world they can make it on their own, or they have to stay here for life, because we are giving them an opportunity to live again, a second chance to life. So the option of releasing these animals back into the world for now is not there, because if you release them, then you're taking them to die.
He says the facility has downsized workers and is fundraising from well-wishers to be able to run it. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbilia Baro, I thank you again for tuning in and choosing the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music
from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.